Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 9th and 10th chapters. In case you missed it, the Super Bowl was 2 weeks ago. Since then, I've heard a lot of people complain about how boring of a game it was because it was a low-scoring defensive battle. But I bet the players and the coaches weren't bored, since in a close game like that, every play counts. Any play could turn the game. Any play could become victory or defeat. Now, professional athletes compete to earn a paycheck. That's true. But at the level of the Stanley Cup or the World Series or the Super Bowl, it isn't about money. It's about winning, because nobody wants to be the loser of the Super Bowl or the loser of the World Series or the loser of the Stanley Cup. At that level, athletes work hard to compete and to win. What they do to their bodies to prepare to win is rather extensive. They work very hard. They're very careful about what they put into their bodies. Their training table is an absolute necessary. They train rigorously and vigorously. They put in countless hours studying their opponents. They put their bodies at risk. They play through injury. They give their blood, sweat, and tears to win a medal or a trophy or a ribbon or just the title champion. However, whether it's a Super Bowl or an Olympic gold medal or a Little League baseball trophy, all athletes compete for what the Apostle Paul calls a perishable wreath. What he's referring to was the sprig of ivy that the athletes who competed and won in the games in Corinth, called the Isthmus Games, that little crown that they would then wear until it would dry up and fade away. But in today's text, the Apostle Paul calls on Christians to work even harder than these glorious athletes for their faith. Because you have received an imperishable wreath, which is none other than Christ Jesus and the eternal life that he promises to all who believe in him. So Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Now, Paul's metaphor isn't properly understood if you think he's talking about working hard to earn your salvation, the way an athlete works hard to earn that championship trophy. When the Patriots won the Super Bowl, they earned that championship. But Jesus, Paul, and all the writers of the Scriptures state clearly that salvation doesn't come to you through your efforts and good works. Salvation is God's free gift to you, that Jesus has won for you. Jesus has earned it. And by God's grace, you receive it through faith. So what that means is that you already have the prize. Eternal life is already yours. The victory over sin, death, and the devil is your possession. It's something that you have now by virtue of your baptismal faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus was the one who won the victory. Jesus was the one who conquered on Mount Calvary. But Jesus doesn't keep this victory to himself. You share in this victory by virtue of your faith in Christ Jesus. So you see, you already have the prize. You already have forgiveness of sins and life and salvation as a gift of your faith. So when Paul says, run that you may obtain it and exercise self-control, he isn't speaking of justification. You're standing before God because you've been baptized into Christ Jesus. He is speaking of the way you live your Christian life. In other words, he's talking about sanctification. How you live your life of faith in Jesus Christ. So in this text, Paul is challenging the Christian not to become lazy or complacent in his faith and life in Christ, because it is possible for you to fall away from Christ Jesus. It is possible for you to lose out on his victory over sin, death, and the devil. It is possible for you to lose that imperishable crown through unbelief. So what Paul is challenging the Christian to do then in this text is to exercise self-control and to discipline your bodies. And he does so for two reasons. First, to remain faithful to your Lord, especially regarding temptations of the flesh, that you may one day then live with Jesus in heaven forever. And second, to strive through faithful Christian living to win others for Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's metaphor of hard work and self-discipline on the athletic field fits what the Super Bowl champions will face next season. They are champions. They have been crowned. But next season, every team they face will work all the harder to defeat the champs. Thus, the first challenge from the Apostle Paul is a call for Christians to remain faithful to the Lord, exercising discipline and self-control over their bodies. When you became a Christian, you began a lifelong struggle against your sinful nature. And that's what the Apostle Paul calls the body in our text. The sinful nature and its desires are constantly at war with you, and they're constantly at odds with what God wants for you, which is why Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you must deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. What Jesus was saying is you must deny your body, your sinful nature, the lusts and desires that it relishes. Paul uses his own life as an example. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Your body needs food, clothing, and shelter, but it wants pleasures and leisures of the world. It likes a full belly and a warm bed, a comfortable bank account, and pleasures at every opportunity. So the devil uses your body's lusts and desires to sin as a way to get to your soul. He attacks your soul through your body for the purpose of destroying your faith. So Paul is saying that you should discipline your bodies just like an athlete disciplines his body. Don't become lazy or complacent in your Christian faith and life. Don't rest on your laurels, because the devil never rests. Don't give in to your sinful desires. Don't let the devil use your body against you to wrestle from you your life and faith in Christ. For example, the body wants to sleep in on Sunday, right? Don't let it. Keep your faith in Jesus strong through faithfulness to his word and sacrament, which is indeed the Christian's training table. Satan doesn't sleep in on Sunday. He's up early. Ask any of our families if it's easy to get their kids ready for church in the morning. The devil is hard at work trying to keep you from the life-giving and life-sustaining gifts of God's word and sacrament. But it's not just the temptations that befall us on Sunday morning. The body wants to sin in all sorts of ways. Envy, lust, hatred, laziness, gossip, slander, abuse, pornography, greed. The list goes on and on. The things that the body lusts for and desires. And Paul says, discipline it. Keep it under control. Don't let it win. Don't give in to your sinful desires. Those things will rob you of a good conscience before God. Don't let the devil do that to you. As Jesus said, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Your eternal life with Jesus is your true treasure. Far more important than anything the body desires or the world has to offer. But if that isn't enough of a warning, then Paul uses the Israelites in the wilderness as an example to believers today. It is possible to believe in Jesus and then to lose your faith and your salvation if you allow your body to follow its wills and its whims. You see, most of the Israelites didn't make it to the promised land. They died in the wilderness because they listened to their bodies and not to the Lord. In Egypt, they experienced the mighty depths of pain and suffering in slavery. And there in Egypt, they saw the even mightier acts of God to save them from Egyptian bondage. But then there in the wilderness, just mere months from leaving Egypt, they grumbled against God at the first sign of hardship. They preferred full bellies in Egypt under slavery than freedom with God. And so God bound them to the wilderness, and that is where they died, never setting foot in the promised land. So keep in mind that this is what will happen if you let your body win, if you give it what it wants. Give your soul what it needs. The word and sacrament of the Lord. Give your soul what it needs. Godly living in obedience to the commandments. Give your soul what it needs. Faith in Jesus Christ, and you will win. You will live because Jesus will be the rock of your salvation. But let's be honest, all too often the sinful nature does win. If you're able to resist sin perfectly, if you're able to love God fully, I would be out of a job. And thankfully, one day I will be out of a job in heaven. But know this, if you've been letting sin and your body have its way, if there is any sin that you delate in, that you hold on to, that you keep, don't stop. Don't make any excuses to justify your sin before yourself or the Lord. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. Jesus redeemed you from bondage to sin. You are free. But if any sin has a hold on you, listen to the Lord and repent. Turn away from it and turn to God. There is great power in honest confession and repentance. For the only loser when you repent of your sins is the sinful nature. For it is defeated by the forgiveness of sins. Now the second reason to strive to live as faithful Christians is to win others for Christ. An athlete competes for a perishable wreath for himself. But the Christian runs the race of faith not only to persevere in his own salvation, but so that others may know that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and that others may receive also an imperishable wreath. Why? Because Jesus works through his people to proclaim the love and salvation of God. Paul disciplined his own body and he exercised self-control, not only for his own salvation, but also for the sake of those who would receive the gospel from Paul. Paul gave up many things for Christ, but he also gave up many things for the people who would hear about Christ from him. Paul gave up an easy life. He gave up a promising career as a Pharisee. He often gave up his freedom. He gave up his peace of mind and well-being in his body as he was dishonored and shamed and beaten and whipped. But he didn't do those things. He didn't give up those things for himself, but so that the gospel proclaimed through him. Paul even saw his time in prison as an opportunity to preach the gospel. We too live lives as faithful Christians for the sake of the gospel. The Holy Spirit uses the sacrifice we make, the words that we say, the Christian lives that we live to impact the lives of people around us. God works through you to win others for Christ Jesus. Yet God knows that we won't live a perfect life here on earth. He knows that our own sinful lusts and desires will undermine the gospel. But remember what the Apostle John writes. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Indeed, our own sins will undermine the gospel. The word of God is true, and how we live our life declare to others that we believe that it is true. And yet in our sins we fail. Yet in our true repentance, though, as we ask God to forgive us, we also ask God to help us do better. And what greater opportunity to witness our faith in Christ than that our neighbors know that we are sorry for our sins and that we pray the Lord to help us, discipline our bodies and to help us do all things that we may love and honor God and edify our neighbor. And one more thing does need to be added. Good nutrition. As I mentioned before, athletes have their training tables. They need good nutrition to compete. And Jesus knows that you need good nutrition as well. And as we meditate on the second part of our reading from Paul, we can't help but think about what Jesus gives us. Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. As we hear those words, we cannot help but think about the table that Jesus provides for his people, that he has washed in the waters of baptism. The food that Jesus provides, the drink that Jesus provides, that you may be strong in him. His own body and blood given to you in his Lord's Supper. There Jesus gives you the spiritual sustenance you need to stand firm against the temptations that the devil will throw at your body. And that you may stand strong and firm in the faith. And indeed grow as you feast upon the food that Jesus gives you, the food of eternal life, and so strengthened win the victory. When it comes to the race you run as Christians, may God help you to remember that you have a prize far more precious, far more enduring, far more special and important than anything that you would ever find on earth. And may he help you run the race to victory in Christ Jesus. And live your Christian faith for the world to see, that they may rejoice in your good works. And by God's will and grace, come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. In his blessed name, amen. Would the congregation please rise.